Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. This is the Between the Robes podcast. Brian Fritz along with Michael Wiseman. We appreciate everybody for listening, for subscribing. If you're watching us on YouTube, please click on the subscribe button below. If you are listening to the audio podcast, you can subscribe to us there as well. Please rate and review the podcast. Before we get into everything, we do want to wish our most sincerest condolences to Jim Ross, who unfortunately lost his wife this past week. For anybody that does not know the news, Jim Ross's wife, Jan, was involved in an accident. She was riding on her moped when she got hit from behind. And unfortunately, when she got thrown from the moped, she hit her head very hard on the ground and suffered multiple skull fractures. And unfortunately, she was never able to come out of a medically induced coma. And she passed away on Wednesday night. It is a tragic story. And we wish nothing but the best for Jim Ross, especially at this time. And our thoughts and prayers and all of our condolences are out with Jim. And we hope that he is doing as good as he possibly can. But it's a very tough time for Jim Ross. And we just want to be there for him. And we hope that everybody supports him in this time as well. There is no easy way to move on from something like that. So, Michael, how's your week been? And let's get ready to do this thing, man.
Week has been kind of crazy, dude. We've got a lot going on. We've been planning WrestleMania week. We're here. We're a week and a half away, 10 days, right?
Yeah, it is WrestleMania week, you know, and we've got a lot of stuff going on, like you said. So let's talk about some of the things that we do have going on. So we have the Between the Ropes after party. And by after, I mean after NXT takeover here in Orlando. So on Saturday night, April 1st, following NXT, you can join us for the Between the Ropes after party. It's at the Harry Buffalo. It's right across the street from Amway Center. And that is where takeover is taking place. We hope that everybody can join us. Please RSVP. And you can do that by going to our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/Between the Ropes. You will see the event there. Click on that. And please RSVP because we would like to get a head count. We want to know how many people are going to be out there. And it's going to be a great time. We're going to have a lot of fun. You never know who might show up as well. We're hoping to have at least one guest, if not more, come out there and have a good time. We plan on being there right after the NXT TakeOver show. We're also going to use as an opportunity not only to celebrate with our fans, but celebrate the restructuring or relaunching, I guess, of our Patreon page, and everybody can check us out there, patreon.com/Between the Ropes, where you can support us and help us keep going. So we are going to be relaunching that or retooling it, I guess, beginning next Monday. There's going to be some new tiers, some new different things that are going to be on there. And for anybody who can support us, please do there. But that's part of what the after party is going to be, is just talking about the Patreon page as well, but just kind of celebrating our fans and having a good time.
We're going to be hopefully, potentially, possibly doing a quick Facebook Live broadcast, capturing our thoughts on NXT as well. When it comes to the Patreon page, we've had a lot of support from you all in the past. We have been thinking about how do we do what we want to do and do more of it. Where do we take this thing next? And Brian and I have all these ideas, and so we've decided what's up there doesn't reflect where we are now. So Patreon is going to be going through a revamp. We're going to be relaunching that on Monday. So Patreon is going to stay up, but there will be all new content on our Patreon page on Monday for those of you that do want to support. And we have some really cool ideas. I don't want to get too far into them, but the idea I threw out to Brian today for one of our tiers, if we get enough support, is going to be a Between the Dopes, name pending, a Between the Dopes audio feed that you can listen to our commentary for, I don't know, let's say the NWO pay-per-view. That would be a lot of fun.
Right.
So the NCW greed.
Yeah, the Between the Dopes name, that comes from a friend of mine from back in the day who used to talk about the show Fritz and Dickerman, Between the Dopes. And that would be an apropos name if we do something like that. God. So we've got some different ideas for it. And by the way, when we have the after party, I think that's going to be a great opportunity for people to pitch us ideas for things that they want to see. If they've got an idea for a video, for a podcast, for a tier on Patreon, something else they would like us to do, something they want to see, that's a great opportunity to come right up to myself and Michael and say, why don't you do this? I have this great idea.
And Brian and I haven't chatted about this, so I'm kind of going to surprise him. We have a little bit of old Between the Ropes swag. I don't want to say old, but it's our classic logo that maybe we'll do a raffle to give it away. That would be a lot of fun. There's lots of things we can do. Please join us. Listen, y'all, NXT is going to be a great show, and we know you're busy WrestleMania weekend, especially if you're flying into town, but stop by right after the show. Just have a single beer. Just come by and give us a handshake, give us a high five, because I, Brian, we both love seeing our fans. We don't get to do it that often. So it's just going to be a great chance to meet some of you all, especially you guys who write us questions on a weekly basis, to do it in person for the first time. So join us just briefly. I'm bringing my wife, so please be nice.
Not so nice.
Or not. Just drink beers. Just come drink beers with us. That's the important thing. So,
right. You know, and our good buddy Pedro, who we've mentioned many times, he is going to be there. I don't know who else is going to be there. I'm trying to get some special guests, you know, so we'll see who shows
up,
you know.
Not Dickerman and Vito, unfortunately.
Wait a second. Oh. Did I say that? did I say that?
So basically, I'm going to be kicked out of the party so we can have a classic Between the Ropes reunion party. That's what's going to happen.
I will spoil this, and I don't even know. Well, I'm spoiling something that I don't really know yet. I'm going to see if I can convince Dickerman to come.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, there you go.
Especially being that time of night, because the D-Man is not going to be going to NXT, as far as I know, but maybe we can convince him to come out to Harry Buffalo. Mm.
There you go. I've never met Dickerman, so this could be interesting.
It would be very interesting.
Be very interesting. Can I drink a beer now?
You can drink a beer now. I know you're
what? What were you going to say about me?
I was going to say, like, you're the new Dickerman, but, you know.
Oh, God, that's offensive. It's
offensive to the real Dickerman. It's who it's offensive to.
I was going to say, like, it's like the new Coke. You're the new Coke. You're the...
that's Lord. Pretty brutal if I called you the new Coke.
That's like whenever they replaced Regis Philbin. Like, what did you do with that show after Regis and Kathy Lee? You had to replace Kathy Lee and Regis, and now what do you have? That other chick, whatever her name is.
Yeah. So, all right. I know you're thirsty.
I'm thirsty.
Get your adult beverage. Crack one open.
So, for those of you with the benefit of flash photography, this week I am drinking a cherry almond ale from New Belgium.
New Belgium.
This beer brought to you by Between the Ropes Podcast. So, beer in a can, just for the record, is better, definitively proven by science. If you do get beers in cans, they are scientifically better. So,
there it is.
I ruined it.
You, especially now that we're recording this for video podcast, you are ever so gentle because you don't want a fizz explosion.
Oh, man. It's true. Well,
you're like, yes.
And there was this moment right then where I was thinking about the video that we're doing now because I can see me and I can see you.
Yeah.
And I pulled the beer down here to my waist level to crack it open. And I was like, wait, that's not going to play well for the podcast audience. So
no,
got a glass with my name on it. It says Mikey. You can smudge it all right there. And let's pour this bad boy in here.
There you go.
This sucks for people listening on the radio, doesn't it?
Probably. Especially
nice
because they're not listening on the radio. They're probably listening on their mobile device.
Oh, that was terrible. Oh, whoop. That was bad.
Jeez almighty, dude.
Oh, man. That was not a good pour. So
that was a horrible pour.
Shut up. Move on. What else do we need to talk about?
Amateur hour over here.
Power Rangers coming out this weekend. That's what we're going
to
talk about.
We'll get to your questions later on here in the podcast. Just a quick reminder for everybody. Use the hashtag AskBTR. If you send those, you can also email us. It's btrmailbag@gmail.com. So WrestleMania is just over a week away.
I'm sorry, Brian. We never talked about this last week. The Jake the Snake documentary. I watched it. Did I tell you this?
No, you didn't tell me.
I just want to segue here for a minute. I love documentaries. You know me. I'm a documentary junkie. King of Kong is a great, great, great movie. But last weekend, I watched The Resurrection of Jake the Snake.
And your thoughts?
Oh, it was fine. It was good. I think the documentary, the story of Jake is incredible. I have my issues with the way that documentary is put together, but I think the story of Jake is something that all fans should check out. All true wrestling fans should dig into, because the way they tell his story, his resurrection, it's really heart-wrenching. And you see a side of this man and what the business does to these guys in a way that I think the wrestler kind of put this Hollywood spin on it. but the real side behind it. This guy's got a family that does love him and does support him. And you realize how much of their bodies and their lives these professional wrestlers give to the fans. So anyway, my little plug right there. You should watch it.
I totally agree with you. I do want to spoil this now. You mentioned the documentary last week on the podcast.
Damn it. Did I?
Yes, you did.
Sorry, it's been a bender since then. I've just been thinking straight through, so.
Nah, that's perfectly fine. I mean, we're all in WrestleMania mode now. It's just a little over a week away until WrestleMania 33 right here in Orlando. Gee, there are just countless numbers of events that are going to be there with all the different independent shows. Beginning on Thursday night, or even Thursday during the day, maybe, and it goes through Sunday afternoon and WrestleMania, obviously, and Raw and SmackDown and whatnot. So just tons and tons of events that are going to be going on. There's one story in particular that when I put it on our little run sheet in advance, Michael saw this and said, that's it. We have to start talking about this. This is crazy. So Mike, explain to everybody what jumped out at you that you wanted to talk about.
So you texted me earlier today and said, get this. And you told me that Shawn Michaels was offered a match with AJ Styles at WrestleMania this year because they did not have a plan for AJ Styles. And I didn't text you back immediately, mostly because my jaw was on the floor at the potential on that. And Shawn said he turned it down because he wasn't interested. Obviously, he's retired, et cetera, et cetera. But that's crazy. First off, it's crazy that WWE offered Shawn Michaels AJ Styles. Secondly, it's crazy to me that that match could have happened in modern WWE.
Well, let's give proper attribution. So Shawn Michaels was on Sam Roberts' podcast, and somehow I haven't listened to all of it yet, but somewhere along the lines in the conversation, Shawn revealed that he was offered the match. He turned it down. I am curious exactly when he got offered this match from this standpoint. So the belief was originally it was Brock Lesnar against Shane McMahon at WrestleMania, but Brock Lesnar turned down the match. So what happened first? Did Brock turn down Shane, or did Shawn turn down the match with AJ? Because if, say, Shawn turned it down first, or say Brock turned it down and Shawn turned it down, that then they're probably sitting there going, okay, what are we going to do with Shane? It could have been a different story. Like, did they want to do this match instead and not do the Brock match? I've got a feeling Brock probably turned down the match with Shane first. And then that's how everything kind of pieced together the way it did, with eventually being Shane McMahon against AJ Styles.
But, do you have a dog barking behind you?
Yeah, the dog is barking.
I was hoping you wouldn't hear that. I kept hearing this little scratching noise, it seemed like roof. And your poor dog. Oh
yeah, he just misses you. The dog probably sees somebody outside or something and is going nuts. The dog likes to go in our townhouse. He likes to go up to the sliding glass door, and if you see somebody walking out there, or she sees another animal, she starts barking like crazy. And she's a sweet dog. It's just when she sees, you know, other animals or other people, she goes crazy.
Is there like a women's wrestling match going on outside?
It could because be. I never know in this place.
You hate women's wrestling, so it'll make sense to me that your dog
Don't say that. Women's wrestling.
Okay, Brian.
My God. Hey, a spoiler for everybody. Be on the lookout, whether it's going to be Friday or probably early next week, in my conversation with the lovely and talented female wrestler Alexa Bliss, your SmackDown Live Women's Champion.
And you did just talk to Charlotte too, so I have to give you some credit for that. Yeah,
Charlotte, me and Charlotte joked about how we're BFFs. Not you.
She's the same BFF. College.
I joked that we were BFFs, and she left, and she was like, "Hi, Brian."
Is she going to be at Radio Row? Because I feel like I need to reestablish my turf now.
I'm hoping she's going to be there. But I got to talk to Alexa Bliss earlier today, and she's fantastic. Does this claim about me not liking, you know, women's wrestling? Just stop it.
Okay. So you said something that stood out to me about the whole Shane McMahon, AJ Styles situation. And that was, you said you wondered if WWE officials didn't have something for Shane if Brock would have turned them down first. And the prospect that WWE officials are looking for something for Shane specifically drives me up a wall a little bit.
Well, I mean, he's a McMahon. And if Shane wants to be on that show, and the way that Vince is going to look at it too, like, hey, my son is the McMahon. He's a big draw. People want to see him on these shows. So we got to have him in a marquee match. I think it shows, regardless of the timeline, it shows the power of Brock Lesnar to say, I am not doing that match. I am not selling for that guy. And it also shows what they believe in AJ Styles from a standpoint that, hey, we think these styles are going to mesh really well.
He's AJ Styles.
No. But I mean, imagine if Sean had said, now what would they have done in this situation? What if Sean had said, okay, I'll do the match with AJ Styles. And then what if Brock Lesnar says, I will not do a match with Shane McMahon. What would they have done with Shane then?
You just bump Shane off the card. That's the thing about it. Shane does not need to be on this card. You use the McMahons like you use them in the Attitude Era, and that is as almost like enhancement talent, right? You put a big name up against Steve Blackman or The Big Show to have a spot on the card that will be entertaining because Shane can take a bump or because people love seeing Vince McMahon get the crap beat out of him. And you don't plan a match around him, though. That doesn't make sense to me. And I guess there's a bigger issue here, which is, first off, it would have made no sense for Shane to sell to Brock Lesnar, of all people, really. But secondly, they paired him with AJ Styles. And I have issues with that, not because Shane doesn't have any talent. He can go in the ring to a certain extent, but he doesn't come across like a tough guy. So, for example, Brock Lesnar is a part-timer. He is a tough guy. He is a guy that when he didn't wrestle for however many years and he fought in the UFC and he came back, you took him seriously. Bill Goldberg, right? Bill Goldberg hasn't wrestled in 20,000 years. And he comes back. He's just this big hunk of a man that, you know, if he gets in the ring, he can still kick ass. Shane McMahon doesn't convey that. He doesn't train. Triple H, for example, came out this past week on Monday Night Raw. He said, I am in the best shape of my life. And he is still ripped, so he doesn't have to wrestle week in and week out to establish himself. AJ Styles, smaller guy, super athletic, super ripped. He has established himself as a main eventer based off of talent, not off of size or look. And so the problem that I have with pairing Shane McMahon up with somebody like AJ Styles, or Brock Lesnar to a certain extent, even more so, but AJ Styles, is that you're lowering the stature of a guy like that. You're telling me that a guy who never wrestles, who doesn't look the part, who doesn't, he's probably in good shape, but he's not in wrestling shape, is going to go into that ring and go toe to toe with the best natural wrestler in the world today, who has been a world champion. You've now lowered the stature of that wrestler of the WWE World Championship to a point where I don't take the match or the wrestler as seriously. I mean, I do because I love the guy, but general audience, you're weakening him in their eyes.
Well, let me play devil's advocate and kind of play it from the WWE vantage point. They will say Shane McMahon is a McMahon, that he has gone toe to toe with some huge stars in the past. He's a big attraction. He will go out there and do every move you can imagine. He will try to do it. He is not afraid to put on a stunt show. He gets a big reaction from fans, and there are some fans that are just going to be like, that's cool if we have the stunt show kind of match. And I don't think it takes away from AJ Styles from that standpoint. If they go out there and the match is solid enough and AJ, you know, wins in the end, it's one of those things where you say, okay, that match was whatever it was. Was it a stunt-filled spectacular? Was it a little sloppy in some parts, whatever it might be, it's probably going to be all of that. But it's one of those where you look at it, you have the match, and then you just kind of move on. And that's kind of the way that they look. I mean, look at so many different things, and I'm not advocating for this, but there are so many different things that we see in WWE where it's, we did this, now let's move on, let's not dwell on that. And there are times when I think that's appropriate. There are plenty of times where I don't, because then it goes away from building a storyline. Like, hey, how can you do this one week where 2 weeks ago they just did this? So, you know, the storyline does not make sense if you really break it down or if you really look at it from that aspect. But I think the way that, I think the way WWE looks at it is, hey, Shane McMahon is already a huge star. he's already at that level of an AJ Styles. We're not bringing AJ down because, you know, it's not about, we don't base your stardom on how good of a wrestler you are. We look at it from how big of a draw you are, how big of an attraction you are, how much people want to see you. And they see Shane McMahon on that same level as an AJ Styles.
So I think there's a difference between a guy like Shane McMahon and The Undertaker and putting him with a guy such as AJ Styles. From this perspective, The Undertaker is an attraction fight. It is one of those fights. It's kind of like going in to see the strange, the beyond at the circus, right? You're going to go in there to see the one-eyebrowed lady or the no-thumbed Thomas or whatever it is. You go into those little tents to see the attractions. The Undertaker is that now. He is not an week-in, week-out competitor who is jockeying for position, who is vying for championships. The Undertaker is the dead man. He's got the gong. He's got the smoke. He's got the lights, right? So you put him in matches like last year with Shane McMahon where it's about the spectacle. AJ Styles is not a spectacle-based performer. I think Goldberg is a spectacle-based performer to a certain extent, right? AJ Styles is not that. AJ Styles is a, let me go in there and prove my worth because I'm competing for the best championships in the world. So I think by putting him in an attraction fight, that is not the kind of attraction fight that is, let's pair up. It's not the John Cena, The Rock attraction fight where you're having legend versus legend or even The Rock versus Hulk Hogan. It is this weird kind of Shane McMahon can take some pretty daring bumps. So let's put him in there with a Matt competitor. I struggle with that a little bit. Now, advantage, Shane McMahon can do some nasty things in there. He jumped off the top rope this week, and they were kind of trying to deliver that point that he can kick a little bit of butt. But I'm interested to see how they book this match, let me say that, because it has potential. I think it could be AJ Styles kicks the crap out of Shane McMahon. He could cocky. There are ways you can book this to still make it interesting. I'm not convinced by the prospect, and when I heard that Shawn Michaels was an option, it made me even more disappointed.
Well, here's the thing, though. It wasn't a situation where it was like, oh, we thought about it and Sean wanted to do it. And then we said, no, we're not going to do it. It was Sean doesn't want to do it.
Sure.
I mean, so that was the aspect from that. Now, we saw Super Shane this week, like you said. You know, he did the dive off the top rope and put, you know, AJ through a table. I am curious to see how they're going to work that match. What is the reaction going to be, though, if, say AJ takes 2/3 of the match? But what if he loses? What if Shane McMahon wins that match?
So there's a setup we're missing here. I think you're right. What happens? How many fans riot? How many fans take to the message boards and write angry letters to Vince Kennedy McMahon and all of the Mean Street Posse when they find out that AJ Styles loses to Shane McMahon, right?
What if the Mean Street Posse does a run-in to help Shane McMahon win? I mean, Pete Gass does have a new book out. His autobiography is out right now. So maybe he's gonna be around. He's gotta hawk that book.
What better way to promote your book than to run in at WrestleMania? No, right, but if you had made this a table match, right? There's a way to make this work. If you had put some kind of stipulation on this, there are ways to make this kind of attraction fight work. And to a certain extent, the Cell helped out The Undertaker and Shane McMahon last year. It just did. I hope they add something because as it stands, a one-on-one match, it's what, a no disqualification match? Have they said that?
I don't know if they said that yet, but I expect them to. That's going to be a street fight or no DQ match or something like that.
So there are ways you can make this work and make it believable to where if everybody and their brother runs in to help out Shane McMahon or something, I mean, he's a face. So who knows? I think there are ways you can protect AJ and still have him lose. But I hope they don't go with some kind of funky Shane McMahon wins because he's better in the ring. That would be dumb.
Well, I thought the only way that they might do it is if they did something where they said Shane won somehow and AJ was so ticked off about it. He says, I can't work for this guy anymore. You need to trade me. Or he just starts acting up. He hijacks SmackDown to the point where they say, we got to get this guy off the show. I think you could do it even if AJ won, if that was your intention, was you could say, I beat Shane. You know, AJ says, I beat Shane, but I can never work with this guy again. So you got to get me out of here. And then they work a trade.
With Seth Rollins.
Or Roman Reigns.
Or Roman Reigns, but I'm saying Seth Rollins has that built-in reasoning right now. He's the guy that is feuding with Triple H and Stephanie to a certain extent. Better idea? You use that as your setup for a redraft. Vincent Kennedy McMahon hobbles down to the ring. Bah! Swipe left. Bah! And he comes into the ring.
I wouldn't say hobble. Why don't we use power walk for Vince? Come on.
Okay. Old man power walks. I'm sorry. I'm being real mean tonight. I don't know why. Power walks down to the ring. And he says, listen, we have conflicts on both sides. Let's redraft. See what happens.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know if they're going to do a draft or when they would do it. But, I mean, there's been some talk that they might shuffle the deck here a little bit. So,
well, they're going to take our idea because it's becoming more and more obvious they listen to our show. Did you see today on the NXT conference call, which you can listen to on our podcast feed, Triple H said exactly what I've been saying for weeks. The Miz could be a world champion within the year.
There you go.
And I said it first. You heard it here first on Between the Ropes. So
when it comes to the rest of WrestleMania 33, because we are just a little over a week away, what is your level of enthusiasm for the show? Because I would say a couple weeks ago, mine was pretty low. And then I kind of had this epiphany where I said, hey, it's WrestleMania. Let me kind of wrap my arms around it. I'm not going to say that it's the most highly anticipated WrestleMania for me, but I'm starting to get in that mode, I guess, especially with it being right here where I live. I guess I'd say I'm probably around like a 6, between a 6 and a 7 on a scale to 10.
I'd put mine at a 5 right now. Wow. And I think part of that, so I go back and forth. I think part of the reason I'm at a 5 is because there are so many things about this card that feel predictable or are almost, we know Brock Lesnar is going to beat Goldberg in their culminating feud. We have a pretty good feeling that John Cena and Nikki are going to go over on The Miz and Maryse, right? Some of these things are planned out to a certain extent that I'm not quite as bought in. And I think the feud that I've been super excited about, Triple H versus Seth Rollins, has not yet come together in a guaranteed match, or it's not going to be a workhorse contest like I hoped it would be. So, listen, it's WrestleMania, and I'm going to be excited. I mean, every day that gets closer, the whole spectacle of the weekend, the arena, the fans, everything. By the time I get there on that Sunday at 4 o'clock, whatever, yeah, I'm going to be pumped. I'm going to be at a 9 excitement level. But I think the card itself does not excite me, and it doesn't tell me that we're going in a new, bold direction for the next year in WWE programming.
Well, you know, on the conference call today, Triple H made it sound like there was going to be a lot of new and exciting things coming up here for NXT, but also for the main roster. And he made it sound like it was setting up some stuff there. So we'll see exactly what happens there. When it comes to the lineup for WrestleMania, they really didn't change too much. They might have that 14th match. They did do the change of the SmackDown Tag Team Championships this week with the Usos beating American Alpha, and they added Nia Jax to the women's match on Raw, so it's going to be a fatal four-way. There was some discussion about Dana Brooke going into that match.
Ugh.
And then I'm not fond of trying to rip into somebody or really take pot shots at them, but Dana Brooke is not ready for that spotlight, and we saw that on Raw because whatever that was that she tried to do with Charlotte, and it was a match that they tried to have.
Whatever that was.
Whatever it was.
Maybe it was a match. Maybe it was a mud wrestling contest.
I don't know hell that was. It was a disaster. To our one point where Charlotte was laying down on the mat and Dana was lost or something.
Yeah.
And she just kind of kept slapping Charlotte in the face. And Charlotte was like, what the hell are you doing? And at one point, Charlotte got up and she was bent over and Dana was bent over. And it was obvious Dana was talking to her. And just like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And finally, Charlotte just like, chewed her off and booted her and did something else, I think. And then finally just hit her with a high kick and pinned her. Well, like, that's it. I mean, there was no finisher. There was no nothing. It was just like, boom, this is done.
Go back a year. Can you imagine that a year ago, we would be looking ahead saying, yes, Alexa Bliss has this much more star potential than Dana Brooke. When Dana Brooke was paired with Charlotte for the longest time, that kills me.
Oh,
Alexa Bliss was no. I mean, it's not that she was nothing. That's rude, but she wasn't even a consideration a year ago.
Right. You know, like, you know, in the conversation I had with her, and I, like I said, I'll have the podcast up. She talks a little bit about, you know, kind of her growth. And she even admits, like, I can't believe I got drafted.
Yeah.
She goes, I was never on an NXT TakeOver show. Mm. I had never been in a championship match, and I got drafted. Which
that's
is
awesome.
True, but I mean, it just tells them what they thought of her, the potential. And, you know, sometimes it's, are you doing it too early? And sometimes it's like, you need to do it. You got to throw, you know, they'll learn, somebody will learn more by throwing in them into the deep end of the pool.
Yeah.
It's true. And, you know, and for her, they said, let's try it. And it's worked out great for them. So, so let's talk a little bit about Raw and SmackDown, some of the other things. So the first thing, a couple of things came out to my mind. One of them was there was actually some really good wrestling on both shows.
Mm-hmm.
The tag team match, the Usos, American Alpha, was a really, really good match, just like you would expect between those two teams. And the Usos are now tag team champions. I thought that over on Raw, Samoa Joe and Sami Zayn had a really good match as well. Joe still took more of the offense, but it was a little bit more back and forth.
Sure.
We haven't seen Sami Zayn do his, you know, jump around the post under the ropes DDT move in a while outside the ring, and he did that. I mean, he at
which
one
is
point,
a hell of a move. I mean, you just can't oversell that, dude. It is amazing.
It's incredible. And I just love that you can see Joe was sitting there, and Michael Cole goes, uh-oh, you see what's happening here? Like, and everybody's like, what? And then you saw the move.
Yeah.
And it was like, you can see it coming. And but it was just this, you know, this classic hard-hitting affair that you would expect between those two guys. So that worked out really good. I will say this. Let's point out some of the details on some of the storylines here. So if you are an athlete and you're always hoping to get some leeway from your doctor, right? Because we always hear these stories about, you know, athletes. They want to go back into the game. They don't want to talk to the doctor. The doctor says, hey, you know, I don't know if you should go out there. It's like, no, I'm good. Let me go out there. So if you're in that boat, if you're an athlete, you definitely want to be on Raw. Okay?
That's right.
Because,
that's right.
Because apparently the doctor over there just doesn't give a crap. You got a doctor. They're talking to a doctor who's like, Seth Rollins is incredible with his rehab, but there is no doctor in the world that would ever clear Seth Rollins to get in the ring at WrestleMania 33. There's just no way. But yet, I guess the doctor is going to let him, because Triple H goes out there and goes, you know, I'd love it if Seth could get out here, but it's just impossible. Well, you know, maybe if he signed a hold harmless agreement. And
what the hell is that? Like, what is a hold harmless agreement?
Basically, he's saying that if Seth incurs any more damage, he can't sue Triple H or the company.
So it's an unsanctioned match. That's what they're saying this is. It's the exact same thing.
It's an unsanctioned match. Now, mind you, over on SmackDown, apparently the doctor's a little bit more strict, because you've got Daniel Bryan, who desperately wants to get in the ring. And he even, like, on Talking Smack, I believe Renee Young brought up this hold harmless agreement. And Daniel goes, yep, and just kind of laughed it off. And Renee laughed it off. And then on Twitter, Daniel Bryan brought it up again. And he was like, hold harmless agreement?
Yep.
So apparently,
he's hoping he gets drafted to Raw next week.
If he gets drafted to Raw, we might see Daniel Bryan back on WWE programming.
Oh, Lord. It's funny how that works out, isn't it? Kayfabe coming to bite you in the butt.
Really, really strange, to say the least. But,
yeah, it was a good segment, though. I mean, the doctor thing, I got to give them props. They're in a hard situation right now. Right? Not knowing what Seth Rollins is day to day. And they seem like they're getting a better idea of what they're going to be able to do, but really
I
not.
I think they've known for a while that he's going to be okay. Like, he's not going to be 100%, but I think he's going to be like 80, 85%.
But here's the beautiful thing about it, Brian. They have built themselves a number of branches to where if it turns out next Monday he's not, they can pivot off of this in some pretty beautiful ways. Right? So I like the storytelling. I think it was very effective, although it does seem silly in retrospect, this whole hold harmless agreement. it was very effective to have the doctor segment first in that show and then have Triple H come out later and be like, yeah, no, I'm going to beat your ass. I think that was good booking for Raw because it gave the show hooks, right? I tuned in and I'm like, oh, that's an interesting segment. It's something we don't see very often. A doctor coming to do a little interview. And then right afterwards, I said, stay tuned because Triple H is going to be back later in the show. Whatever. So I like that kind of continuity through an episode of Raw. And I'm glad they did it that way. And I think the Triple H segment, he knocked it out of the park again. He is doing great work on the mic. And I'm really curious to see what they do on Monday where he comes out to sign. It's going to be a good go home show for this feud.
So have you officially sent in your resume to become the new commissioner of Raw? There's an opening now because Mick Foley got fired by Stephanie McMahon.
I did. I sent in my experience here in Between the Ropes. I said I have watched lots of episodes of Raw throughout my entire life.
Right.
And I have managed social media for Between the Ropes, so that has managed in the title. And I wear plaid shirts sometimes.
You dress very generally.
I generally I'm dressed. So
that's a good point, too. Yeah, I like that.
You know, and I haven't heard anything back yet, so I'll just keep those numbers. I'll keep calling them up every day, seeing if
I've heard that they're still kind of like accepting resumes.
Okay.
But they're not going to hire anybody till after WrestleMania, so there's a process, you know?
Okay. So have you heard how far they are along in the process? Like, have they done callbacks yet?
I don't think they've done callbacks yet.
Do you reckon they do one of those things where they do like cross-company interviews, you know, they pull together a committee from people of different areas. So it'd be like, let's have the COO Triple H, and then let's have the intern Bobby Bobberson. And they kind of pull in people from like somebody from marketing, somebody from human resources. Is that what happens?
Possibly. I have been on one of those and they're terrifying.
Mm.
I was involved in one of those and it was supposed to be a video conference, but the video did not work. So I had to just do it over the phone, like audio wise. But so I couldn't see everybody, but it was like five people.
Uh-huh.
And it was frightening.
I think I know which one you're talking about.
It was flat out frightening because I was warned it was going to go down like this, like from, I think, you, my wife.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, we'll see what happens. And then I get in on this and they're like, yeah, so it's so-and-so in charge of this department and so-and-so is head of this division and president of this. And I was just like, oh, what's going on here?
That's the way I'm going to be when they're like president of WWE, Vince McMahon. And I'd be like, who is that? Are you on Tinder? Is that what this was?
So yeah, no more Mick Foley. And I mean, Mick was really good for his role. Next week when we do the podcast, it's just going to be like a massive breakdown of WrestleMania, what we think are going to happen at the matches. And also what we think could happen in the days afterwards, as well as we kind of look ahead following WrestleMania. But I will say this, I think there is a chance that before WrestleMania is over, we will see Mick Foley again on WWE television. Or on WWE event. I think there is a chance.
Is he going to be the new general manager of NXT? The new general manager of 205 Live. Wait, who manages 205 Live? Do we know that?
No one. That's why it's such a mess.
Oh, tell us how you really feel, Brian.
It's a mess.
They haven't figured that one out yet. They're like, who is in charge of this again? Who do we blame? Bobby Bobberson, get back in here.
Bobby Bobberson. Speaking of that, have you watched, oh God, Southpaw Regional Wrestling? Have you watched?
Yes, that? Yes.
Who is your favorite character?
Oh, that's tough.
For anybody that hasn't watched it, go to WWE's YouTube page. This is their spoof regional wrestling thing that they did. I think a lot of it was created off of Luke Gallows was doing characters in the past. And yeah, I'm doing the same character. They changed the name just a little bit. His first name was no longer Sex. It was Tex.
Yes.
But yeah, they did like this spoof of old time wrestling.
It was beautiful. And it kind of came out of nowhere last week where all of a sudden it's just up and we're all like, what is that? And fans just went crazy for it. It's really creative. And it seems like there were some inside dudes at WWE who just kind of did this. I got to say, though, Tex Ferguson, great character.
Ferguson. That was Gallows.
Big Bartholomew was very fantastic.
About when he found out that he had signed on the dotted line, who was it, Mr. McIntosh, yeah. which was Tyler Breeze? And he goes, if you look at the contract, it's not my name on there. This is who you got to face, the sea creature. And Big Bartholomew was like, oh, no, no, not the sea creature, you know, and everything.
It's so weird because WWE does stuff like this. So first off, that was very effective. Let me say this. I give them lots of crap for bad segments, and we haven't talked about SmackDown yet, but I have to say, stuff like Southpaw Regional Wrestling, stuff like the Total Bellas spoof this week on SmackDown, shows me that they can do pre-produced segments in a very effective way without having to undermine their curtain, like they do sometimes when they show these multi-camera, camera in a car, camera on an alternate angle so we can get Randy Orton doing his pose kind of stuff. I don't, you know.
Well, the other thing too is, I mean, with this, so they did these videos, and John Cena was involved. I mean, he's like one of the lead guys. Who is he? He was the announcer. Was it Frank Catamaran?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. By the way, Fandango being his color commentator.
No, it was Lance.
Oh, Lance Catamaran. Yeah, thank you. And then it was Chet Cheddarfield, who had the biggest comb over you could ever imagine, and was always passed out drunk. At one point, he's got scotch with him all the time. You know, he's got a glass of scotch. And at one point he was passed out. He lifted up his head. He goes, hey, you, why don't you? And he was about to curse. And they did the whole, yo, hang in there. We'll be right back. You know, with the cat hanging from the wire kind of video.
It was beautiful.
The great thing was, so they do this. And then what match did they do this week? They did John Cena against Fandango.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
That's just like, and by the way, Breezy Bella. Tyler Breeze dressed as a Bella is haunting.
Oh, you will never wash that one out of your memory. Oh,
well, man. Boobs went flying.
Yes.
So at one point, he took a move from Nikki Bella, and boobs went flying. It was Tyler Breeze's. It was Breezy Bella's boobs. Not only did they go flying, they cut Nikki Bella. She was bleeding. She had a boo-boo. She was bleeding, and they were talking about it on Talking Smack about how she got busted open by boob.
I just feel like if you were ever introduced in a UFC fight or in a WWE ring, they would call you Brian Boobs Went Flying Fritz. Like, I think that's your name. Brian Boobs Went Flying Fritz. Like, that's got a whole ring to it.
I like it.
The alliteration, the it's just beautiful.
I like it. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the other Total Bella skits with Miz and Maurice?
Can we just say how fantastic those were? Can we just praise those? And so are there awards for these kind of segments? Can we get those put into next year's Emmys? Daytime, nighttime, funny time, prime, whatever time. Let's get these segments put in there because they were genius. They were hilarious.
Did you like the guy that was holding up the sign behind Maurice or behind Nikki Bella? It said, I love you. Yes. I love you. Like, you had to read up the cue card.
Yep, yep. Oh,
spoofing
God.
Spoofing John Cena and the lack of emotion, apparently. So,
the whole, this is our TV bedroom.
Right.
Nikki sleeps down the hall.
They did Talking Smack, and Nikki did a lot of the talking. So Nikki and John Cena are there, and she's talking, and, you know, she's fine. But then John takes over and goes into full, I'm going to murder you promo mode. And it was fantastic. I mean, the level of John Cena and against anybody doing promos is ridiculous.
He's good. He gets undermined a lot for his Preacher Boy promos, which I agree. They've got their weak spots. But whenever you have him paired up with somebody who it really feels like they get under his skin, somebody like The Miz, in effective segments like these Total Bella spoof, when he turns it on, it feels real and it feels fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. And let go of a killer promo.
I just want to again, the part where he kept almost proposing. I have a proposal for you, Nikki.
and he got down on one knee and he goes, what was it? Loop, loop.
Yep. Yeah. Bunny goes around the tree. Yeah.
Yeah. He's tying his shoe. She's like, oh, here it comes. Here it comes. And he's tying his shoe. Yeah.
The best one was whenever it was Nikki and Brie, and Brie kept on calling herself Nikki. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was good.
We've said this for a little while. It's pretty obvious that Cena is proposing to Nikki after the match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
To me, it has to happen. And then that gives them the reason also to write off John Cena, because I do not think he is going to be at SmackDown. I think John will immediately be gone for a few months after Mania.
It's sensible storytelling. And I was, again, very critical of this matchup going into Mania season. But the way they've built it has been so good that I'm really looking forward to it. Like, it has gone from a, oh, well, it could be okay. I like The Miz. John Cena's good in the ring. It's a mixed tag match. And each week, they've done something that's gotten me more interested in this feud, to where I think, yeah, it's one of the matches. It's not going to be a classic, but it will be fun to see this happen at Mania.
I think it's going to be one of these where you won't remember the match necessarily other than who won.
Yeah.
But you will remember the storyline leading up to the match. And it makes you interested in seeing the match. And that's what happened. I mean, it's like classic Hulk Hogan, which I said before. The match might not be that great, but the storyline leading up to the match is really, really good.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
Go back to, when was this? 2005, maybe? Shawn Michaels and Hulk Hogan? I mean, that match was pretty good, actually, because, I mean, Shawn went nuts taking bumps. And you could tell Shawn was not into that match. And he just said, I'm going to make this, and went crazy. But remember the buildup for that, where Shawn, who normally was not a heel at that time, was dressing up like Hulk Hogan all the time and asked like he was an old man. And he did like the Larry King segment with him. And he kept going, brother, 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 brother. And he was doing everything, and he was doing the spoofs and whatnot.
Well, I think you go back to The Rock and Hulk Hogan, right? We knew Hulk Hogan was not a great in-ring competitor at the time. And yet the match was very forgettable. It was like, I don't know, 10 minutes. It wasn't very long. But
I will say this, though. We do remember that match from the standpoint that the crowd in Toronto was
crazy. Dude, they were insane.
Because bizarro Canadians decided to...
So you are a racist, too. So you're not only are you a sexist against women's wrestling, you're a racist who just called all Canadians bizarro. Wow.
How does WWE always refer to Canadians when they have a show there? They go, we're a bizarro world.
Hold up. Your litmus test for whether something is offensive or not is what WWE does on the air.
Yeah, you have a problem with that?
Yes.
Stop pointing this out, damn it. But, the Canadians, man, they didn't care who, I mean, they didn't care if it was Hollywood, Hogan, what Hogan they got. They were all into seeing Hulk Hogan in that ring.
I will say this. I give Brian a hard time, but Brian is genuinely one of the most, how do I put this without applying politics to it? Brian is genuinely one of the most concerned about diversity and rights to diverse people, guys that I know. He's the guy that tweets me angrily when legislation gets passed limiting women's rights or et cetera, et cetera. So I give Brian a hard time, but Brian really does look out for other people in this world.
Let's put it this way. I love me some women. Okay. Let's just put it that way. I love me some women.
And now it's creepy. So there you go.
Okay. Let's talk about the other story. I was dominating WWE. And this one is one of these where I think we have to wait and see exactly what's going on here, because you're hearing different parts of the story. And that is WWE and their possible interest in purchasing Ring of Honor. There have been a couple of different stories about this. I know Pro Wrestling Sheet had a story that WWE and Ring of Honor have talked multiple times going back some months. The Wrestling Observer and Dave Meltzer had this in the newsletter, and they were talking about it, but he says he's heard it was serious, it was not serious. Mike Johnson of PWInsider.com had a story about this, and everything that he has heard was maybe they talked about a sell, but it was more of, we're not interested in buying the company. It's more of, we're interested in the television show and putting it on the WWE network so we could then get access to the video library. The way that Meltzer had put it was, if WWE bought the company, then they weren't going to continue Ring of Honor. Or they likely would not continue Ring of Honor. It would be to eliminate competition and to get the video library. I don't know what to believe or not.
I don't understand what they... Go ahead.
Well, here's a couple of things when it comes to this, okay? Because I'm not going to get all bent out of shape about this. Because I still got to see exactly what happens. Because there's still a lot of things that could happen. We don't know exactly where the discussion is or what exactly has happened, what has not happened. Maybe they've talked about what remains to be seen. So I wouldn't get all bent out of shape about it. But WWE buying Ring of Honor would not be good for the wrestling business because it takes down just a major area of where guys can wrestle on a high level that people know. And also, to me, it hurts WWE because look at all the talent that they have on the roster that came through Ring of Honor. And I understand that they will say, we have NXT, we have our system, we've got our trainers, we've got the performance center, and we can take guys and we can mold them and we can make them into the great performers that they are today. I tend to believe that, yes, while you can do that, I prefer the system of guys work the indies, including Ring of Honor, and that is like a final stepping ground in a lot of cases to showing what they can do and having longer, harder-hitting, stylistic matches that they will deem as art. They can go out there, they can show their craft in the way that they want. It's totally controlling by themselves, and they use that as like a final step before they say, I am going to go to WWE. There's so much talent that WWE has right now that has gone through Ring of Honor. To me, I think they would be hurting themselves by not having that avenue for them. Now, if you want to put Ring of Honor television on the WWE network, if there is a way to do that to where, Ring of Honor officials still book it the way that they do, they can control the talent the way that they do and everything, then I could see that. I think there is a way to make that work. I'd still be a little bit skeptical because then you'd be on, a WWE outlet, and what if there's an issue where there's a talent who's a free agent and they're bidding against one another, that could be quite awkward. It is fraught with potential issues. Ring of Honor also is this conduit to bring in other, talent that we see from around the world, especially from New Japan. And if you get rid of that, you get rid of that partnership. New Japan wants to expand in the United States, but we get to see a lot of them on Ring of Honor television as well. So, like I said, I don't want to go too far with this because I don't know exactly what has happened. There's been some talk about it. So I wouldn't go crazy thinking, oh, WWE, they're going to put Ring of Honor out of business. It's over, and let's see exactly what happens. But I understand why WWE would do it. But as a wrestling fan, I am not in favor of it.
I think you make really good points, Brian. And across the board, I tend to agree with you. I really struggle to see why WWE would want to even spend the money to buy out Ring of Honor on a there are competition basis. Because right. Ring of Honor is not competition with WWE, no more than Impact Wrestling is competition with WWE right now. Yes, they are other wrestling organizations that exist, but competition literally implies they're taking something from you by existing. And I don't for a second believe that the audience is going to Ring of Honor and not watching WWE strictly because Ring of Honor exists. I think the fans that refuse to watch WWE will refuse whether or not Ring of Honor exists. They'll move over to Impact or Lucha or CZW or whatever other show, Evolve. They will watch overseas wrestling. The fans who are not going to watch WWE are not going to start watching because you buy out Ring of Honor, right? First point. Second point, buying up, you said this, buying them up is going to kill part of your talent funnel, right? Now, if you're buying out Ring of Honor, basically you're buying the distribution rights to them saying, listen, we want to put you guys on our network as another product. We want you guys to still exist to operate in the way that you do, but we want to highlight you on Thursday nights, right? We got Monday Night Raw, Tuesday Night SmackDown, NXT Wednesday. Let's put you on Thursday, give you a platform you don't have already. If you can find them on local access right now, good for you. But Ring of Honor is a hard product to find on a lot of major television networks. That would be a boost for Ring of Honor. And it has the added benefit of making SmackDown, Raw, and NXT feel like independent promotions more so than they already do. And now what you have is the WWE umbrella, right? It is World Wrestling Entertainment, and it captures all the most important wrestling brands in the world, including SmackDown and Raw and Ring of Honor and NXT. If you pull all of that together, that's pretty cool. And 205 Live, and now all of these feel like independent wrestling promotions, partially because you brought in an outsider, that feels pretty cool. But I don't know that WWE is ready to take that step. In a way, de-emphasizing the WWE brand in favor of emphasizing the television brands.
Yeah, it's this tricky situation. It would hurt from the standpoint of another place that talent can work. I mean, look at all the high level talent that work at Ring of Honor, and you would not have that outlet. I mean, I agree when it comes to Ring of Honor, as much as you may or may not enjoy it, and there's a lot of people that enjoy it, including us, it's not competition for WWE.
Right.
That's why I would find it hard to say, let's just put it out of business because it's competition. We want to get rid of the competition. I think it would be, we want the talent that's there, talent that would potentially be going there. I want them to look at us closer and jump to us sooner. And, you know, and they're not going to run the show just because they don't want to run another program on their own. I mean, it's one thing if somebody, if they give, say they work out a deal with Ring of Honor to carry the television show. And say they go, here's what we want in return. We're going to give you, you're giving us the programming. You're going to book it. You're going to grab all the talent. In exchange, we will give you X amount of money per year. Plus, you have to give us rights to your video library to that we can use for documentaries and different things like that. I'm not saying that maybe they can even work out a deal where Ring of Honor, old Ring of Honor shows do air on the WWE Network. I don't know if that's something you want to do because Ring of Honor has made so much money off their DVD business. Maybe there would be enough money in it to make it worth their while. But
right.
There's a lot of different things that are going on with that situation. And I would say don't jump to too many conclusions. It's an ongoing situation. And we'll see if there's anything to it. Hell, there were reports out there at the end of last year. WWE's buying Impact. It's they're done. They're over.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my, you know, right. Oh my God, they're booking flights and, you know, all this different stuff. And none of that happened. None of that happened. Was there a conversation to buy the video library? Yeah, there was. Did anything else happen? No. I mean, there was a conversation somewhere. I don't know, it might've been for the video library. It might've been for Impact. It didn't happen. I don't even know what Ring of Honor would be worth.
What is it offered for Impact? A $5 sandwich and whatever?
$5 and a ham sandwich.
$5 and a ham sandwich. I think we can probably muster that up for Ring of Honor. I would give Ring of Honor the honor of $10 and a turkey sandwich.
Mm.
God, I got some Ring of Honor fans real pissed off at me right now, don't I?
Probably. So let's talk about the tricky situation, the tricky story of the week. There was footage, both pictures and video.
I apologize, y'all. It was my bad. I left my social media account open for a little bit, and y'all got all the Michael A. Wiseman you could handle. That is at the Real Wiseman on Twitter. If you want to hack me and find all those scandalous pictures, I'm not saying you should, but that's my one joke. I got it in. I'm good. We're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
So the photos and videos of Paige got put out on the internet. They were stolen from her or from somebody that she did share them with. And it was a sex tape, you know, and in some of the video and photos, there were other WWE personnel, including Brad Maddox, who's no longer with the company, and Xavier Woods was in there as well. So it is an awkward situation, to say the least. There's also since then been other pictures that have been stolen from people's social media or from their pictures, from their clouds, from their phones, all the different things like that. There's been some other WWE talent or even former WWE talent that have had some items taken and shared to the world. And, you know, it's a bad situation, to say the least. You know, Paige has come out and said, hey, you know what? I didn't release this. Nobody was supposed to do this. The stuff was stolen. Her mom has talked about suing different websites if they put it out there. Alberto Del Rio, who is dating Paige, has now said that he is not going to appear at WrestleCon because of this. On Monday, when they had the New Day talk, they didn't put them out there in front of the live crowd. They did something, you know, backstage. So it's an awkward situation all the way around.
Yeah, it kind of sucks, man. I mean, listen, it's not cool. These are private photos taken by adults, consenting adults, and they get out into a population they never intended. And just because they're a celebrity or just because they are on a on television every week. Just because they have an audience doesn't make it right for their private, their most private of moments to be shared out, no matter what that is. And I think this exists in a certain scope of outside of Paige has had some problems maybe in recent, the last year in WWE. This exists outside of that scope. This is not some kind of, ooh, scandal with Paige again. She's always involved in scandals. It's not her fault. Somebody hacked her or somebody shared these photos and videos without her consent. And it's not okay. It's not okay to take these very personal things from celebrities, even pro wrestling celebrities, just because fans think so. So, you know, it's sad. I just, people who do it are jackasses.
And they are. It's you know, a huge invasion of of privacy. And, you know, I know it's out there and people will look at it and share it and whatnot. You know, please be respectful of other people and, you know, their items. Like I said, this was something where she had her privacy invaded. And there's been some other people as well. This has happened many times with celebrities. Even sometimes, you know, friends and, you know, others, you know, you see it happen to them. It's a horrible situation when things like this happen. At the same time, I would like to emphasize to people, please be safe when it comes to your personal items. I'm not saying it's never right for somebody to steal your stuff, but at the same time, please be safe as possible. And hopefully it does not happen to you.
That's a good point. There are ways you can help better protect yourself from this.
Right. And I'm not putting any of the blame on anybody that's ever been caught in a situation because it's not your fault by any situation, but please do the best that you can to be safe about this stuff as well. It's a crazy situation.
So, by the way, Del Rio is not, go ahead.
WWE is not going to punish any of them for this.
No.
Because I mean, it would set a bad standard. I mean, and they, like you said, they're consenting adults. And they did nothing wrong.
Well, from, it sucks from, for Paige too.
From that standpoint, like it's not like they put it out there.
And it sucks for Paige too with the movie about her family and all this stuff. It's just, it's so sour in so many ways. But I did not hear that Del Rio is not coming to WrestleCon. So that
just happened today.
Fascinating.
So yeah, he is not coming. And I am wondering what the reaction is going to be like the next time he goes to Impact, or. What is the reaction going to be for, say, Xavier Woods at WrestleMania?
I am not worried about that. I think I hope this not. Is. I feel like Impact, maybe, but
I don't think so because I don't think anybody's going to do anything with Alberto. Or true. I hope not.
True. And I think for the New Day, I think at WrestleMania, there's so much else going on. And the fans, while you will have some insider fans there, maybe on Raw the night after you should be worried. But WrestleMania is such a more, it's a very general crowd that I don't think it will get quite that bad.
Let's talk about one more thing before we get to Q&A. So the ongoing situation that is Matt and Jeff Hardy. So there's still a battle between themselves and Impact Wrestling over the Broken Universe. So apparently Impact Wrestling is now trying to trademark Broken Matt, or they believe they own the trademark. So they have gone on YouTube. And everywhere that they see Broken Matt mentioned, they are putting a TM on it. Well, Rebby Hardy, Matt's wife, none too thrilled with this situation and went off on Twitter about it the other day. I think the only way this situation is going to get resolved is if one, Impact drops it because they don't feel like they have a case, or it goes to court. Otherwise, it's going to go on and on and on. And maybe this will be the reason why when the Hardys go back to WWE, and I think we all fully expect them to go back to WWE, like if we do not see the Broken Universe or if we see it altered, this is going to be why. And I'm still not even exactly sure when they're going to pop up, because if you look at what happened on SmackDown, so the Usos win the titles and they go on Talking Smack and they said, we want a title shot at WrestleMania. Who are we going to face? And they actually said, we want to face the Bullet Club. Okay, so they want to face Anderson and Gallows, which is not happening. But it leaves the door open for the Hardys. Now, is that going to happen? I personally don't think so, but you never know. There is some belief that they are not going to be debuting in WWE until at least May. You know, just because of the contract situation and everything else, I believe there was some talk that they were in Pittsburgh this week taking physicals. But you know, we all expect them to go to WWE. Just when are they going to debut? Is it right after WrestleMania? Could it be a month later? And what is going to be their gimmick? Is it going to be just the Hardys, or are they going to have the Broken Universe, or are they going to have something close to the Broken Universe, but something that they can utilize that plays off that, but also where they can't be, where they can use that character and they're not going to be sued by Impact?
You're overthinking it, Brian. They people don't come into WWE from indie organizations and bring over their name. They're obviously going to come in and be called something like Matt and Jeff, the Harvey Boys, okay?
Well, they can use the Hardys. That's their real name.
No. Daniel Bryan is Bryan Danielson, but he's Daniel Bryan because WWE. So obviously Jeff and Matt are going to come in with different names, probably Jeff and Matt Harvey. And, you know,
believe it or not, that's not the problem. Impact has an issue with.
So are they going to come in?
It's the broken Matt that they have a problem with.
Well, what if he was broken Matt Harvey? It would be totally different then, see? Duh.
I think WWE fans remember him as Matt Hardy.
Well, if you just change that one letter and take the shirts that you already have made and just put a little duct tape David to a D or whatever.
What if he was unsheveled Matt Hardy?
Unsheveled Matt Harvey. That's good. I like it. Unsheveled
Matt
Hardy.
Matt Hardy.
No. You got to change the whole gimmick, brother.
No.
Unsheveled Matt Harvey. Book it. WrestleMania. He's going to be your Royal Rumble 2018 winner. Unsheveled Matt Harvey.
No. I'll just put it that way.
You feel like this is hashtag another damaged angle, don't you?
Quite possibly.
It's going to get settled. And
I think Impact's going to end up having to drop it.
Yep. It's not worth the effort. They're just doing it because, I don't know this for a fact, but it feels like from an outsider's perspective, they're just doing this to just goad them as long as they can. It's not worth the effort.
Well, here's the thing, too. Impact's not going to put other people. They're not going to have other people playing those characters.
Right. And they don't even like the damn thing. They don't even like the Broken Universe. Why are you going to go after it with this much effort?
By the way, did you see the story in The Observer? So Dave Meltzer wrote the story this week, and he said that if the Hardys had stayed, there was this whole angle where the Young Guns, or the Young Guns, the Young Bucks, let's get it right, where the young Bucks, guns. Yeah, let's try a different, people are a little bit more excited about the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks were coming to Impact Wrestling, okay? So they were going to be on television. The Impact had worked out a deal with Ring of Honor, and the beginning of it was going to be the Hardys won the tag team titles from the Young Bucks, just like they did. Now, I don't know if it's going to happen on that show or the Lakeland show that's coming up here on April 1st. But they're going to win it. And then over the course of the next few months, they would be feuding over the titles on Ring of Honor shows and on Impact television. Wow. And it would culminate with the Young Bucks winning the titles back. I would assume they'd probably win them back on a Ring of Honor show. But they were going to feud for a couple of months, and you were going to have Broken Matt, Broken Jeff against the Young Bucks on Impact Wrestling television. And obviously that's not happening.
That'd be fascinating. That would be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I could dig that.
Let's get to the questions.
Wait, you forgot one news item. What do you call these people? Inductors who will be inducting? Yes. That thing right there. The wave.
Yes, the wave.
So, Jim Cornette, he's making his epic triumphant return to WWE television.
He's going to be inducting the Rock and Roll Express.
Yep.
Which is the right guy to do it.
And
Jim will be on his best behavior. Yes. We all know. I mean, I guarantee he's going to open up going, who the hell would have ever thought this? Yeah. And he'll give a great speech.
Jim Cornette is a character. I've met him in person once or twice at various wrestling events. And he goes into promo mode. He goes into pitch man mode. As soon as you start talking to him, especially when he knows that you're writing something down or you have a camera going on him, he's great. He's energetic, quite offensive at times, but you're right. Fritzy, people are saying, oh, what's he going to say? He's not going to get up, especially not at the freaking Hall of Fame, and insult WWE or its fans or the McMahons. That's not happening. Right. So
it would be disrespectful to the Rock and Roll Express.
Right.
You know, so, and by the way, I would love nothing more though. And even though he doesn't like appearing on the Hall of Fame, I would love nothing more than Vince McMahon make an appearance and hit Jim Cornette in the back with a tennis racket.
Oh, man.
That would be awesome.
All right, hit the questions music. Hit the music for questions.
Well, let me. You mentioned the inductors, so let's mention them real quick, okay? So JBL and Ron Simmons are going to be inducting Teddy Long. DDP is going to be inducted by Eric Bischoff. John Cena is going to be inducting Kurt Angle. Natalia,
can I just say that was my other favorite segment of the Miz spoof on Nikki and John Cena, which was where John Cena, the Miz, as John Cena says, "I got you a diamond," and Nikki says, "Oh, goody, a goody, Dallas Page set of DDP yoga."
There you go. Oh man! So Eric Bischoff is going to be inducting DDP, and then Ricky Steamboat is going to be inducting Ravishing Rick Rude.
Interesting. It's cool.
Yes.
I like it. It's going to be shaping up to be a pretty good Hall of Fame, I feel like.
Yeah, with Kurt Angle and Jim Cornette and the Rock and Roll Express. Yeah, I think so.
Good.
I think so.
A good Hall of Fame class, but like to your point, good people inducting them as well, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. So
okay, let's get the Q&A. Music. Music. Hit it. Go.
You got mail.
Oh, that's nice. We should have that as our music.
There you go. And you can send the questions on the Twitter using hashtag AskBTR. You can also send us an email. It's btrmailbag@gmail.com. And you can also go to our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/between the ropes.
And do me a favor. Since I read these, and feel free, people have sent us a couple of interesting emails this week, so we're going to dig into that a little bit. I like that. I like the length. Let's share a little bit of personal information. That's great. Tell us where you're from. So if you're, for example, first email from Christian Fox, let me know. Christian Fox, Orlando, Florida, or wherever. That would be cool to know, too, so we can make sure the right Christian Fox gets a shout out here on the show. First email is from Christian Fox. Hey, guys,
Is it like Christian Fox? Are we doing it like a certain NXT or a certain 205 Live star?
Oh, yeah, you gotcha. Nah,
you didn't like my Noam Dar?
No, I did not. I was not that impressed.
Damn it. Why did you sell my jokes?
I sold yours. I know
sold
you. I keep it real. What are you talking about? You sold my jokes. My jokes are funny. That's why you sell them. Hey, guys. Just want to apologize ahead of time for the length of this email. I hadn't planned on writing this much, but just couldn't stop. So Christian,
I can stop right now.
Christian writes in to basically say, I'm not going to read the whole email. I appreciate the length. He's not a big fan of the way they have booked Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt coming out of the Rumble. And he echoes some of the concerns we had about how it felt like it was very quick, how it seemed like they committed to a longer-term storytelling, and they kind of shot that a little bit shorthanded, or it was shortchanged a little bit, I should say, and they rushed it a little bit. So here's what he offers, and I like this. He offers us his idea of an ideal booking scenario, and he wants to know what we think about it. He says, "Orton joining the Wyatts was great, but I have an idea for them that is better, basically. Basically, he wants them to have held onto the tag team championships." Listen, now follow with me here, Brian, because I'm going to get your input on this.
I'm following along.
That basically Randy and Luke should have held onto the tag team championships until Mania. That Bray Wyatt should have picked up the Intercontinental Championship along the way. At some point, they would have lost those at Mania. Orton and Harper start arguing about whose fault it is, blah blah blah, have them do a match, but we lead to Money in the Bank. Randy Orton wins the Money in the Bank championship and Bray Wyatt captures the championship later that night, and the feud continues. Randy Orton saying, "I'm not going to cash it in, I don't need it, you know, blah blah blah," and he surprises it about, you know, at SummerSlam, where Bray retains his championship, Randy Orton comes out to celebrate with him and cashes in at that point. Basically, he's saying this would have made more storyline sense than the Rumble thing, because Randy Orton doesn't have to cash in by a certain amount of time, and you could have cemented their friendship even further by Randy Orton ignoring multiple attempts to cash in between Money in the Bank and SummerSlam.
I mean, that could have worked, but the biggest problem was they wanted to do Randy against Bray at WrestleMania. So, yeah, it was rushed, and I get that. I mean, they played into it some. I mean, it wasn't like 1 week it was this and 1 week it was that. I mean, it had been built up for a little while. But you're talking about doing something that would be 6 months long rather than something that was, what, a month and a half, maybe 2 months long when it came to the build?
Right.
So it just comes down to this was their plan for WrestleMania. But, I mean, that storyline would make perfect sense to do that. And it would come out, like, out of the blue, you know, when you would have Orton turning on Bray.
I love the idea. So here's what I want to call out here, though. I think you're right. They were not building this around the feud. They're building the feud around their timetable, unfortunately, which resulted in let's get them on from Royal Rumble to Mania. And to a certain extent, they had to shortchange it from Elimination Chamber to Mania. But I like this idea of having a reluctant Money in the Bank holder. And that's why I wanted to bring this up, because it's something that's not been done yet, right? Having somebody carry the briefcase who doesn't actually want to cash it in. And you could have said even Randy Orton might be holding on to it until after Bray loses it, but he still turns on him as a surprise. I think that's an interesting tactic, and I would love to see them create in some way a reluctant Money in the Bank holder.
Well, that would have to be done in a way to where somebody won Money in the Bank, and they only became reluctant when one of their friends then won the championship. Mm. You would have to do it in that order, because otherwise it would make no sense for them to win Money in the Bank.
Right. Why would they go after it? And that's what he said. That's why Bray would have to win it later in the night at Money in the Bank. But yeah, to your point, exactly. All right, let's jump in here. Francis sends us 25 questions. I'm going to get to a couple of them. Francis Reyes.
How many questions did Francis really send?
4, 5, 6. Holy smokes. A nice little thanks at the end. So, Francis, okay. I'm going to get to a couple of them here. Pretty
God
quick questions.
God bless you, Francis.
He's loyal. I appreciate Francis because he is a loyal fan, and he remembers things that we talk about. So, Francis, good work. Okay, with Foley going from Raw, is SmackDown now the A show? Listen, Francis, SmackDown has been the A show for months. Done. What did Michael think of Total Bellas on SmackDown and Cena promo on Talking Smack? I just want to summarize this and say that is my version of Total Bellas for the infinite future. I'm not going to watch whatever crappy version of Total Bellas they put on E. Instead, I will make up my own imagination versions of Total Bellas that star The Miz and Maurice. So
why watch Total Bellas when you can, and even Total Divas when you can watch what they just did on SmackDown?
That exactly. Just rewatch that. Maybe they should make a whole series around that. The real Total Bellas. That would be perfect.
Will Breezy Bella be making an appearance there?
Yeah, exactly. I like this question. Which promotions do you think Impact should be working with this year? Partnerships, I guess. Who should they partner with?
They are partnering with everybody. And I'll give them credit for this because they made a deal with Crash, which is Conan's promotion in Mexico. And he is on the outs with AAA and says, I am not going to work with them anymore. So what does Impact then do? They made a deal with AAA. So it's put Conan in kind of this awkward position. Plus, it wasn't too long ago where AAA was threatening to sue Impact because they were going to have one of their referees on TV. Remember they had to do the whole blurring out of a referee? Mm-hmm. That was a AAA referee. And AAA said, if you show him, we will sue you. So they had to blur him out.
I thought he was deleted. What do you mean he was blurred out because of what? So he was deleted. That's why he was blurred out.
He was blurred on TV.
Because he was deleted.
No, because he was a AAA referee and AAA didn't want him to appear on Impact Wrestling Television.
The one where he was with Matt Hardy, right?
Yes.
Right. Matt Hardy had. Did you watch that? Matt Hardy deleted him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good. Okay. Good.
So, but they made that deal and they made a deal with. They made a deal with somebody in the UK, and then they made a deal with Pro Wrestling Noah as well. So they are trying to work with as many different promotions as they can.
New Japan.
That's just not going to happen right now because New Japan has a deal with Ring of Honor. Plus, on top of that, New Japan had a deal with Impact Wrestling, and they screwed the pooch on it because they didn't do anything with the talent. I mean, remember, they had Kazuchika Okada was in Impact Wrestling, and they didn't know how to book the guy. I mean, give me a break.
They should work. I mean, you're right. They won't be able to. But if you are Impact Wrestling and you want to really reestablish yourself as the number two brand, you should work with New Japan Pro Wrestling. Now,
if you're New Japan, you're like, I'm pretty happy with my arrangement with Ring of Honor, and I'm not changing that anytime soon.
Who will they work with? This year, Impact Wrestling will work with Global Force Wrestling.
That is very true. They absolutely will.
Oh, man. I like this question. What piece of Mania merch will you be getting this year?
I don't know. I mean, a really lame one is I don't mind having like a pint glass or something. It just depends on what they have. I mean, I'm not big on, like, if there's a WrestleMania shirt, not a black one, but a WrestleMania shirt's fine. I really like the stuff that doesn't even say like WrestleMania 33 or whatever number. I like the ones that's more generic WrestleMania.
It's like the black shirts you can find at Target or Walmart. But I don't Hanes.
I don't want a black shirt. Okay, I'll take white, I guess, but navy blue,
the
gray,
ones that come in like the packs of 10 t-shirts and a pack from Hanes.
Perfectly fine. Just as WrestleMania slapped on it in black letters.
I can make that for you.
So, I got to see what else they got. Is there anything you want?
Well, we always try to snag a WrestleMania hoodie because they're super soft and comfortable. But I don't know. I didn't buy anything the last Mania, but I've been really tempted, and this is going to seem absurd, so it's probably not going to happen, slash my wife will be with me, so it's probably not going to happen, but I've been really wanting to buy for a long time one of those replica championship belts of the Attitude Era WWF Championship.
Like which one? Like
the rounded global one. Like the one that came after the wingtip one. The one that The Rock, Mick Foley, Stone Cold Steve Austin all held. I want that one.
Considering that you're a big Stone Cold fan, I thought you'd want the smoking skull belt.
It's almost too specific. Like, I love the design of that belt, but it feels like very narrow. And I like the fact that championship basically represents the Attitude Era from the Stone Cold Steve Austin reign, because I think it debuted with the first reign of Stone Cold Steve Austin all the way up to the unification match for the Unified Championship in 2001, whenever that was.
What would you do if you got a spinner belt?
I would take a beer and set it on it and spin it around and then drink it.
Okay.
Yep. I'm not going to say
that.
I
don't know what kind of merchandise I want. I got to see what they have available. You know what? Sometimes some of the throwback t-shirts that they have are the cool stuff. So that's one of the reasons why I like going to Access, because they have the Superstore there, which is just incredibly huge.
Awesome. It is awesome, dude. They have like, you can buy the briefcase, you can buy statues, you can buy like anything WWE merchandise, bracelets, whatever. It's there, man. It's pretty freaking cool. Let's move along here. Ramen Shariati writes in, "Hi, guys. My buddy and I are coming for Mania. Where's a good sports bar to watch the Final Four Saturday night where we'll actually be able to get a table? Thank you, Ramen." Two things. One, Saturday night's NXT, so find a spot to watch that. Two, come to Harry Buffalo. They'll probably be showing whatever game is on at 10:30.
Yeah, if there's still a game on at 10:30, I guarantee they'll be showing it there at Harry Buffalo, because it's a sports bar.
Is there anywhere else nearby the arena, though, that people could possibly go watch this if they're not going to?
If you're willing to go like a mile and a half away, there's a couple of other sports bars, or there's an Irish bar that's over there as well. If you go about 3 to 4 miles away, there's like an alehouse, and there's a couple other places like that. I think there's, if you go towards Universal Studios down on Kirkman Road, which once you get in Orlando, you'll see that there is like a wing house and a couple places like that. But there's sports bars. If you're willing to go within like 3 or 4 miles, those are near the Amway Center.
So he's probably not going to NXT, I'm going to assume, because he wants to watch the Final Four. I think it starts at 7 or 8.
Just depends on where you're at in town. But
where
sports
would
bars
you
all
go?
Over the place.
So like my question to you, you're a local, and if you were coming from just wherever in Orlando, where would you go to watch a game?
So a lot of times when I get together with my buddies to watch, say we watch UFC, there is a sports bar. Okay, so there's an area in town called Altamont Springs, which is on the northern side of Orlando. Okay. It's actually a city called Altamont Springs. There's a sports bar there called Duffy's, which is really good. And they've got just a ridiculous number of big screen TVs there. Any of the ale houses you can go to, and those are all around town. They've got a really big menu and they got plenty of TVs as well. So those are typically the two places that I go to.
Okay. There you go. There you go. Insider knowledge.
The ale house is all over the place, but if you want to, if you're going to go to a little bit of a unique place, you go to Duffy's. Just like there's Buffalo Wild Wings all around town or Kerr's Wing House. Don't go to Hooters, people.
Oh, nothing. God. Don't do it.
We want you to survive the weekend, okay? So please, do not go to Hooters.
Their food is terrible. Their service is not that great. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Let's get to the Twitterverse. Hashtag AskBTR. If you want to shoot us a question. And just so you know, people, I do look this up by hashtag AskBTR. So if you respond and ask us a question, sometimes I will catch it, but I won't always get to it. Slip Slippy on Twitter did write in and ask us which our favorite South Park wrestling character was. So we chatted a little bit about that.
Chet Cheddarfield.
Hashtag AskBTR. Oh, Tim Clements writes in. I think Tim has already RSVP'd for the get-together. Why are a-hole crowds chanting CM Punk every week now? He isn't coming back anytime soon.
That is a very good question. That is a thing that crowds like to do. They amuse themselves. Like, they did it this past week, and it was, like, in the most strange position that they did it.
Triple H.
Yeah,
it was Triple H was out there. Yep.
It was really, really weird.
And it doesn't make any sense. Are you trying to get under their skin? I mean, Triple H is going to no-sell it. Like, he's a genius at this, and he's not going to give in and say, CM Punk's never coming back, because it'll just reinforce your negative behavior. But why? Why? I don't get it. That's a good question, Tim. Other than fans think they're really smart, and that smart markiness has become contagious in WWE crowds. But I don't know. They think they're funny. People think they're funny. People are terrible. People yeah. suck. Except for you guys, you fans. You guys are fantastic. Don't chant CM Punk. Let me jump over to Facebook. What about that? The Book of Faces, since we're getting a little bit short on time here tonight. Got a few questions coming in here. And
that's called a stalling technique, everybody.
This is tell a story, do a jig. Nobody asked about Power Rangers, did they? Oh no, Francis did. Thank you, Francis, coming through in the clutch. Francis wrote in on Facebook because he understands how we use all of our social media. Bonus question: what is your favorite Power Ranger? Brian, I'm gonna let you go first.
Sure. I've never watched Power Rangers. I have no idea about anything when it comes to Power Rangers, so I do not have a favorite.
You are basically the Rita Repulsa of this podcast.
Whatever the hell that is.
Uh-huh.
I like the Cranston one.
He's not a Power Ranger. He's
one of the Power Rangers is named Cranston.
Oh my god. Billy Cranston. Yes, you're right. Billy Cranston.
See, I told you. There we go.
Yes. Played by David Yost. Yes, you're right. Billy Cranston, the Blue Ranger.
And he was named after that because Bryan Cranston was doing the voice then, and Bryan Cranston is doing a voice of whatever character on this one.
Zordon, yes.
No, sure, Zordon. And
the big glowy blue face.
And Bryan Cranston is one of my favorite actors.
Bryan, you're killing
was
me.
Was on Breaking Bad. And he was also Tim Watley, the dentist, on Seinfeld.
So wait, he did the voice of who? The Blue Ranger? No, he did the voice of the villain. You're right.
Yeah, he
did
the voice of the villain.
Okay, so you can go watch Power Rangers right now on Netflix. You have Netflix. It's a luxury that us Americans and people... You're missing out. I grew up
I'm
with
not
Power
interested
Rangers.
In watching
oh
Power
my
Rangers.
God, get out of here. I grew up with Power Rangers. It is a fantastic and amazing and somewhat corny, but they have giant robots that combine into a Megazord. And my favorite Ranger was
I
always
have no idea what you're talking about.
The right Red now. Ranger growing up. Well, they fight monsters made by Rita Repulsa. Who
is it the sea creature that was going to challenge Big Bartholomew?
Yes. I think it was.
Oh, and, the yeah. sea creature.
The Red Ranger was always my favorite until the Green Ranger and eventually the White Ranger became even cooler.
Wasn't the Red Ranger the name of a wagon that kids have?
No, that was not maybe. You're just ruining my childhood right now. You suck. Power Rangers Ninja Turtles. That's what I grew up with.
I've never watched Ninja Turtles as well.
Oh my God, I hate you so much. You are my least favorite person in the entire world. Good question, Francis. Thank you, somebody, for asking about Power Rangers, which I will be going to see this weekend. Back to wrestling, I guess.
I will not be going to see Power Rangers.
I hate you. Hate you. Anthony King writes in, do you think we will see a Ric Flair and HBK segment at Mania? If you could swap out one person in this year's Hall of Fame class. Okay, two questions. Let's go to the first one. Ric Flair and HBK segment at Mania? Probably not.
Probably not.
But I like this question. If you could swap out one person in this year's Hall of Fame class and put somebody else in, who would it be and why? And let's, maybe we don't take somebody out because that seems mean and needlessly petty, but let's put somebody else in.
Hmm.
Who do you want to put in?
Who would you, I'll let you go first, man.
Hmm. I would love to see Christian go into the Hall of Fame.
There was talk that he might go in this year.
I think the two misses are this. I think Christian would have been great. I think Goldberg would have been great. But I also...
We're going to do Goldberg and Kurt Angle at the same time.
Right, right, right. So,
like, I mean, they've set this up now the way Goldberg can headline maybe next year. Next year,
yeah.
You know, Undertaker's going to headline coming up here. Triple H is going to headline 1 year. The Rock, he's still not in. I mean, he'll headline 1 year. I know people are like, wait, The Rock's not in yet? Yeah. The Rock is not in yet. Trying to think, who is somebody else from like the 80s that is not in yet? That was a pretty big name.
Hmm.
So I know a lot of people say Owen Hart.
Hmm. That's a tricky one. I mean, I think he deserves it. That's just, there's so much, I don't know how to put that nicely, but there's just a little bit of, not that he's not going to go win, he will because he deserves it, but there is a lot of baggage surrounding the situation.
Right. Who else? Who else? I'm not sure. I have to think about that. I mean, I think anybody and everybody is available to go in, and that's what we're going to see. You know, I guess who I'd really like to see, the Midnight Express.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I would say them, if they wanted to do it separately, because they've already done the Four Horsemen, I'd like to see Arn and Tully. Okay. I'd be up for seeing the Rockers. I'd be up for seeing the British Bulldogs, the Hart Foundation. So a lot of tag teams there.
I would be up for seeing the Dudley Boys.
But they're not retired yet. Well, one of them isn't.
Well, technically on WWE storylines, they are. They retired last year.
They're not going to put him in as long as he's working for another
player. I know. But that'd be fun.
It'll happen, just not That'd for a few more years.
Mm. Jeff
Let
Jarrett.
Me ask you this real quick. Oh, that's not
Double J, ain't he a
He
nice
ain't riding
guy.
In on that White House horse on WWE television anytime soon.
Dixie Carter, let's put her in next year. Hall of Fame, class of...
I don't think that's going to happen, but I think Eric Bischoff will happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think they could headline a Hall of Fame with the Dudley Boys?
No. Nope.
Probably not.
Not quite big enough. Not going to happen.
Close.
Yeah, but I also think if you're talking about them headlining, I think you could also say Matt and Jeff Hardy could headline.
Yeah. But close, but they never headlined pay-per-views. They might have had the best match on a show, but they never headlined.
Yeah. Neither did the Dudleys, though.
That's what I'm saying. The Dudleys didn't.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gotcha. Couple more questions before we get out of here. One... Holguin writes in, and Juan, again, I apologize if I butchered your name. What is Samoa Joe's role at WrestleMania?
He's going to be the enforcer. I think he's going to be the ringside for Triple H, or maybe he'll be in the back and he'll get involved. I mean, this is my scenario. I was going to wait till next week about this, but I'll say right now, and I don't think it's a far-fetched one. I think at some point we could see Samoa Joe get involved in that match, and I think Mick Foley would at some point like come back and get Joe, like hit him with a weapon or something. Something that's totally safe for Mick that he could do.
Gotcha. Matt Ellis writes in, what are some of the new storylines that you believe will happen after WrestleMania?
Why don't we wait and answer that question next week?
Tune in next week for, actually that would be the ending of it, except I got one more question we got to get to. Bill's got a two-part question. first part is, again, coming through in the clutch. Thank you, Bill. And finally, Michael, what's your favorite Power Rangers show? Mine was Time Force with RPM as a close second.
Dear God.
Bill, I watched the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers when it first started coming on. I love it. I love the movie version of the original show, which is actually considered non-canon, if you believe it or not, with Ivan Ooze. It's a great movie. But I got to stick with the original. Alien Force was fun. I never watched much Time Force. This Zeo was cool. Lost in Space was pretty cool. But I got to go with the original version. Brian, what's your favorite Power Rangers show?
The one I've never watched and will never watch. I have no plans to ever watch Power Rangers.
You're missing out. I like this question, and I think it's a good, maybe a quick briefer for our fans. He says, if WWE purchases Ring of Honor, how would that affect wrestlers contracted with New Japan Pro Wrestling? Would their contracts be voided, or would a team like the Young Bucks be forced to work for both? I think that's going to be hard for us to answer, not knowing all the stipulations. But what I want to tie it back into is, when WWE bought WCW back in the day, how did they handle contracts of guys who were under contract to the organization they were buying?
Sure. So the way that was handled was, so the talent was not under contract necessarily to WCW. They are under contract with Turner, with AOL Turner. So because of that, they had the option of going to WWE or just taking their money. So like Goldberg says, I'm not going to go over there. I'm under contract with Turner. I'm going to take my money. Now, could WWE have structured the deal? WWE structured the deal just to grab WCW, and they didn't grab the contracts.
But these guys, let me clarify. But they were paid the remainder of their contract, right?
Right. Like if WWE buys the contracts as well. Yeah, and that would have to be it because it's a different situation. Because WWE bought a product that was owned by Turner.
Right.
Like, if they wanted to, I don't know how the contracts are. Are the contracts Ring of Honor? I mean, the contracts are probably under with Sinclair. So WWE could say, we're buying Ring of Honor. But if they're under contract with Sinclair, we're not buying the contracts. And that would mean Sinclair would still have to pay them.
Sometimes Sinclair might want to get rid of those contracts to get them off the books. They might structure it in a way that is
right. WWE says, hey, I'm not paying... You know, just as a round number, I'm not paying the $100,000 for that talent, but I'll take them if it's $50,000.
Right.
You know, something like that. Then Sinclair would be on the hook for the rest. So that would remain to be seen. But when it comes to how would that work for a talent like Young Bucks, who their contract is with Ring of Honor and with New Japan, I don't know. I think a lot of it is they're under contract with Ring of Honor, but they are allowed to work New Japan for X amount of dates. Ring of Honor gets first rights, maybe, and there's certain dates that they know that they get to work for New Japan.
Gotcha.
I mean, and that's the way a lot of these things are, is that they're under contract with Ring of Honor, but they are allowed to work for New Japan because New Japan will request certain talents.
Okay.
And Ring of Honor says, okay, you can go and work over there on these dates, as long as they don't interfere with our dates.
I would also imagine New Japan is smart enough and savvy enough that they structured something in their contract to where if you get bought out by somebody else, we have the option to leave this contract deal.
I got a feeling that's probably not in there.
Really?
Wasn't in there with WCW. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. I don't know.
Well, you never know. You never know.
You never know how these things are. But, I mean, that's something that if WWE was to buy them, it would be a very interesting situation because – Hey, WWE could say, hey, we're going to buy this contract. And now we've got the Young Bucks. Mm. Now we've got, you know, whatever, you know, all the other talents that they have there. So
you named the Young Bucks and anybody else who happens to work there.
Well, I mean, look at all the, I mean, they could say, now we've got Christopher Daniels.
Yeah.
Now we've got Frankie Kazarian. Now we've got Adam Page.
That would be crazy. We said that a couple years ago with Samoa Joe and Bobby Roode. And look at where they AJ Styles. But man, it would be crazy to see Kaz and Daniels over. And
I don't think, you know what I'd be curious about? Yeah. Okay. We're really extrapolating this.
Yes.
So they bought them. Like WWE owns Ring of Honor. And they say, we're not running Ring of Honor shows. We want the contracts. Would almost all those guys just go to NXT?
Yep.
I think so.
Yep.
I think the Young Bucks, there'd be a couple of exceptions, but for the most part, I think everybody would go to NXT.
Yep.
Hmm. So.
Okay. Any more questions? Come to our meetup. Nope, that's it. Come to our meetup next weekend.
So, yes, Saturday. Please, everybody. Saturday night, April 1st, immediately following NXT. Even if you don't go to NXT, you can come to the meetup. It's at the Harry Buffalo. It's right next to the Amway Center, downtown Orlando. We're going to be starting at about 10:30. We assume, hopefully rightfully so, that the takeover show will be done about 10, 10:15, 10:20, somewhere in that area. So we'll be walking across the street. Just go there, ask to say, hey, I'm in the Between the Ropes section, and they will show you where we're at. We do
say
have a section
you want to go between the ropes. Say, I want to go between the ropes. Do
yes,
that.
We do, do ask that. Everybody, please RSVP to the event so we can make sure we've got enough space for everybody. You can do that by going to our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/between the ropes. You will find the event there. Click on that and please RSVP. And if there's other people that are coming, have them RSVP separately as well so we can try to get a true head count for everybody that is going to come out there. So it'll be a fun time. We hope everybody comes out there. You know, we can just celebrate, enjoy a drink, get something to eat, and just have some fun for a couple of hours and talk some wrestling. So we look forward to talking with everybody out there. Also, be on the lookout for our new updated, improved Patreon page, patreon.com/between the ropes. That will be the new relaunch of that will be on Monday. And if you could support us there, that would be fantastic as well. While if you're watching us on YouTube, please click on the subscribe button below. And if you're listening to the podcast, please subscribe to us, whether it's on iTunes, Stitcher, the TuneIn app, SoundCloud, Google Play, all those different places you can get us. And please rate and review the podcast as well. So next week will be our big WrestleMania 33 pre-show. We'll talk all about the matches on the show. We'll give our predictions. We'll give some thoughts about who could be coming up, who could be debuting, what kind of storylines we could be getting out of WrestleMania as well. So we'll be talking about all of that. In the meantime, even before then, be on the lookout for some other podcasts. We just put one up with Kurt Angle and Charlotte. I'll have one other interviews that you will hear between now and WrestleMania. Will be ones with Alexa Bliss, Ty Dillinger, Bully Ray, Bobby Fish will be on there, and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Wow.
Will be, wow. I will be speaking with Shinsuke Nakamura.
What a get.
And on top of that, how about this for another get? Our good buddy Rich Bacchini from, former NXT announcer. He is going to be joining me for a podcast as well. And our good buddy Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net will be on the podcast too. So we have all of that. And by the way, I will plug Jason's. If you go to ProWrestling.net, become a member, be a subscriber over there. So typically the day of WrestleMania, the Sunday morning is a Sunday morning brunch podcast with Powell and Fritz. And I will be doing that again this year. It is a tradition unlike any other. And who cares about the Masters if that's their tagline? We're taking it. So be on the lookout for that. And also be on the lookout for this too, because Michael and I are going to be at WrestleMania Radio Row just a couple of days before WrestleMania. What's that mean? We are going to be sitting down and doing interviews with a bunch of WWE talent. Who there we get? Go. We have no freaking idea. We never know until we get there. But we will be putting them up here on our YouTube page. Just another reason why you subscribe to the page. Man, I must be tired or something, man. I'm going all over the place, man.
All these
I'm off
plugs,
the rails.
They're wearing you out, man. They're wearing you out.
Man, I'm parched. I didn't have a drink like you, man. I just had my little bit of water over here. So there's a lot going on. We appreciate everybody for supporting us here at Between the Ropes. And stick around, subscribe, support us, and enjoy all the different content we have coming up, especially with WrestleMania right around the corner. So thanks again, everybody, and we will talk to you next time right here Between the Ropes.